Now, what we found with those is that you don't have a risk for this osteonecrosis until you've been on an oral bisphosphonate for 3 years, and that the most cases occur with 5 years or more. So it's a dose accumulation. Now, when you take Zometa, 4 milligrams, all 4 milligrams IV gets absorbed into your bone instantly. It has that much affinity for the bone. If you take one 10-milligram pill of Fosamax, say, only 0.63 milligrams get absorbed into your bone. That's the bioavailability. So what you get in an oral bisphosphonate is a trickle effect into your bone, and it starts down-regulating the osteoclast. What happens and why it doesn't really affect individuals until they've been on for 3 to 5 years is that the bone marrow is able to keep pace by new osteoclast precursors. And so it's this relatively large initial dose that decimates the osteoclast and then exhausts the osteoclast precursors over time. Because the big difference between intravenous bisphosphonate osteonecrosis and oral, if you undergo a drug holiday from Fosamax for 6 months, the bone heals or lends itself to a minor office-based surgical debridement, indicating that the osteoclasts are able to repopulate. You do the same thing with an IV bisphosphonate, stopping the drug, and this is the other message to the medical oncologist. Stopping Zometa or Ridia does not benefit oral exposed bone to any great degree. And so if the benefits still are there for the cancer patient, don't hesitate to continue the medication.
That's interesting. So you're saying that the patient develops ONJ, they have metastatic bone disease, maybe multiple sites of bone mets. You're saying to continue the bisphosphonate?
If the medical oncologist feels that it's still benefiting the patient from a cancer perspective, continue on. Again, we can manage the oral exposed bone. You can't manage the runaway cancer. So if it's still benefiting the cancer, go ahead and continue the medication. There's no absolute reason to stop it.
What do you think the message is right now about that? What do you think is being done in practice in these rare cases? I'm guessing they stop it.
Yes. Again, that's an intuitive thing that medical oncologists are taking because our message hasn't gotten out to everybody yet.
That's interesting. Has anyone looked at what's happened to these patients in terms of bone complications? You would guess they kind of go back to the old days where they're having hypercalcemia and lots of problems. In other words, these cases of ONJ, the few hundred cases that are out there, most of these people have had their bisphosphonates stopped, I assume.
No, many of them. I can only speak about my patients.
Your patients, you're encouraging your oncologist to keep it going.
Yeah, we do. But many of them have stopped it for a good term. Our initial impression is that the metastatic deposits have stayed static, that people who've been off it for a year or two have been followed up by their medical oncologists. The metastatic deposits have stayed static, and their bone in the jaws has not worsened or developed new sites, but it has not healed.
But in terms of metastatic bone disease, did I understand you to say that after a certain period of time, the bisphosphonates just get in the bone and they're going to stay in the bone? And, you know, would that sort of imply that maybe there'd be protection in terms of metastatic disease, even without it on board?
Yes, it would. If you look at it from a pharmacologic standpoint, the Zometa you took 5 years ago is still in that same bone.
But on the other hand, your bone's different because you have metastatic disease in it and things are happening in the bone. Would the bisphosphonates protect against progressive metastatic bone disease in that situation?
In theory, they would, yes.
Interesting.